TTF 256 TTF 256 TTF 256 TTF 256.
Throw the flag on 256today.com.
They're never gonna find this website.
Oh man. Hey kids, how's it going, man? How's your football desert treating you?
You know, I was bolstered by the fact that I just saw that the New York Post is doing a very similar thing to what we just did last week. So
rating the coaches of the SEC.
Well, they're focusing in on a specific part of the SEC East that we might talk about here in just a bit. So we're in good company with the New York Post.
Well, that's good. They've always been a supreme.
There are brothers in headlines.
That is true. I believe that was the headless body found in Topless Bar was the very first one of that. That guy passed away recently.
The guy with the headless body? Long time ago.
Last week we raided the coaches of the SEC East, and this has been
this week we raid the coaches of the SEC East. Arr, avast ye scurvy dogs.
Actually, we're not too far away from that because we will go to Starkville on our trip through the SEC West. By the way, do you know who J.D. Vance is? I promise not
by that name.
Really? Do you know who it is, though?
It does not ring a bell at all.
The guy who wrote, that's actually very safe because I believe I've said, A'shaun Watson for Deshaun Watson earlier. I think I called Albert Pujols Andre Pujols.
You did.
So for me to ask you, do you know who J.D. Vance is? Safe to say not by that name because I could be wrong. However, the guy who wrote Hillbilly Elegy.
Oh, that, yeah. And man, I forgot that thing existed and remembered it a couple weeks ago. I was like, what was that thing that during the pandemic we all talked about? And I was like, I don't know, that's gone. I'm not even bothering to look it up.
Did not know he's running for Senate in Ohio.
Wait, that guy's from Ohio?
Apparently, I mean, he's running. I guess he lives there now. Anyway, that's the...
I'll check in with him on Friday. I'll be up that way.
Oh, good. Good, good, good. I forgot why I brought that up, really, but last week we raided the coaches of the SEC East in our very unique rating system. Since we are without our traditional third... rater of coaches.
Third wheel, am I right, guys?
This year, we're...
Before we rate these coaches, Sean, uh-huh. I feel like I want to put a button on that other side. The New York Post here has not provided us with the last SEC East team, which is Auburn, so we'll have to go with the traditional definitions. Could I interest you in the betting odd win totals for the Southeastern Conference Eastern Division?
Betting odd win totals. I don't know what that means.
The odds are for the predicted win totals.
For each team.
For each team, yeah.
Okay, got it. So you want me to go through each team?
I have a list.
Because
I'm going to give you an over and under, and you pick one, and I'll tell you if you are right or wrong. He's going to be wrong. they've given two. I'm going to select the win bet total because they spelled win, W-Y-N-N.
I don't.
Because you know how that goes.
Because of like the win casino, maybe?
Look, I don't know anything about gambling. So sure. The Indy Win Casino. Georgia Bulldog, Shawnee. Lay it on the line. All the money in the world. Would you say that the odds are over or under 10 wins for the defending
for
national
Georgia?
Champion?
Over.
Chaucha Bulldogs.
Over.
You would be correct. 11.5.
Yeah. That makes sense.
It makes sense, but man, that seemed to see Georgia and a predicted 11.5 win season seems insane to me.
Yeah, it is, but it's like, you know, I mean, the odds right now, like, they want to start pretty ludicrous so that it moves.
Sure, you know? Yeah, that's fair. Look, if you want to, wet blanket this, go right ahead. If that's what you want to do.
Who's next? Who's next? Who's next?
Would it change your mind if I told you they lost Jordan Davis, Devontae Wyatt, N'Kobe Dean, George Pickens, and Zamir White, and James Cook are all gone from that national championship team?
I'd still say over 10.
All right, over 10. Shawnee's laying her in there. All right, what if I told you for the Tennessee Volunteers, over or under 8 wins for the Volunteers?
Under.
Where are you betting?
Under.
You're going under?
Under.
Like, a WynnBET says you would be wrong. 8.5.
That's crazy.
Win totals.
That's crazy.
Here's a shock. Here's a
if
shock.
If they win 9 games, that is a qualified success, unqualified success.
Unmitigated.
I don't know what's
unmitigated
better.
Unmitigated success.
Undenied. Undeniable.
Undeniable success. Wink, wink. So I did not realize Tennessee had one of the best offenses in the country last season, because that would require me to watch Tennessee do something other than play Alabama.
Sure.
And I ain't here for that.
No, hell no.
And here's something I didn't know. Ranked 14th in, any guesses, any guesses, any guesses?
Scoring defense.
Success rate. No clue what that stat is. Zero clue what 14th in success rate and 18th in finishing drives. Also, one more stat. I got one more stat.
I'm speechless. I am speechless.
You're about to pause everything, guys. Hankins is about to send advanced analytics back to the Stone Age. The Tennessee Volunteers, Shawnee.
Speechless.
Ranked 29th in what statistic?
29th in what statistic? Last year.
Not this year. Josh Heupel's Tennessee Volunteers were 29th in a very specific statistic. Any guesses?
Non-offensive turnover. Touchdowns. Touchdowns. NOTs.
You're so close. So close with NOTs. But what they were 29th in, Shawnee? Havoc allowed.
I don't like anything anymore. Close it down. Close it down. It's been a run.
I got one more.
Keep going to 256today.com. But this column, this podcast, it shut it down.
Guys, I'm going to read you a sentence from a national.
How many? No, but before you get there, how many chaos whiskers did they score last year?
I don't know that they're tracking that because they didn't have enough demerits.
Oh, like sacks in the NFL before the 2000s.
Exactly. Deacon Jones and whatnot. I'm going to read a sentence from the New York Post website in an article dated today. I'm going to read this sentence.
Are we dumb? Is it us? Havoc is not a success.
Havoc allowed.
You don't allow havoc.
I don't know if being number one in havoc allowed means you allowed the most havoc, or if it means you allowed the least havoc.
If you
don't know.
Telling somebody that they allowed this havoc to happen to them is like everything that I'm going to therapy for right now. I don't understand any of this.
I can tell you, yes, we could Google the stat. But that ruins it.
No.
It ruins it.
I hope to
because
never
we will eat off this havoc allowed Buffalo for 3 more years. So, yes, please do not. Please, dear listeners.
Don't tweet at us.
Do not tell us.
No.
Do not tell us what this
means.
I'm going to read one more sentence and we'll move on to another team. The Vols ranked 89th in success rate last year. And now on a TARP of only 19% in that unit. That was on the defensive side of the ball. TARP, transferring assets and returning production. That's a stat. That is a statistic.
Transferring assets.
And returning production. So that is what we used to call how many people they got coming back this year.
And I guess how many you get are transferring to you from the portal.
from the portal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Transfer yeah. assets and return production.
Yeah.
Okay. TARP okay.
is what they've decided to call that. Okay. Thank God.
I
thank
understand God that.
They did not.
I understand that. I get it.
But after several seconds, thank God they did not define Havoc aloud. This does bring me to another offshoot tangential point. I did watch a little bit of the, come on. What's the name of it? It's Michael Caine.
227. It's A-Rod. 227.
It's the 227 with Regina King. It is the K-Rod cast last night, which is baseball's answer to the Manning cast, where they take Yankees television play-by-play man, famous New York sports broadcaster, Michael Caine.
Bobby Bonilla.
And famous toilet sitter on this podcast, A-Rod. And they have them watch baseball and comment over it as the ball game's going on. I am a person who likes this concept because I long since stopped needing a commentator or broadcaster to bring me through the game, unless he's someone I just particularly enjoy. There aren't that many people that fit that bill anymore. I won't bring up Gus Johnson because one of us will have a flying fit. But what I'm saying is, I watch it, I enjoy it, and the whole thing was A-Rod being mad about advanced analytics. Like, there was a part of the game where they weren't showing the game. They were showing A-Rod in front of giant circle graphics talking about advanced analytics.
So
I'm just putting this out there because I want to say this. There was a portion where they brought Jeff Passan on to argue with A-Rod about advanced analytics. And they were having a pretty good argument.
Sounds pretty funny and entertaining.
I think both people were making decent points. A-Rod kept pointing out that Joe Torre, Ron Washington, guys that had literal 50 years of baseball experience, that you just can't replace that with analytics. And Jeff Passan was making his point saying, we're not trying to replace it. We just want to supplement it, all those things.
So this well, is at some point. This is, I'm so sorry, but this is the argument between like Moneyball and not Moneyball.
Even past like Moneyball, not to be in the weeds with this, but I think Moneyball is sort of the starting point of the advanced analytics. Moneyball was about spending less, using the numbers, and now we're to the point where everybody does it. This is about the shift. This is about the fact that they blew up Camden Yards and redesigned the field so that the balls wouldn't go out further because the analytics say it's better to have a pitcher's park than a hitter's park.
Deeper analytics, money is no object. Got it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So they're having this argument. And it's great. There, you know, nothing wrong with it. At some point, I look on the TV, and A-Rod is just eating a pizza.
Mm-hmm. Like Urban Meyer?
And so, the interview ends, and, you know, Michael Caine bids adieu to the guest. And and the guest says, see you, Mike. See you, A-Rod. And A-Rod just waves his pizza at the guest.
This sounds incredible.
This is wonderful.
Was this during an actual baseball game?
Yeah, it was Braves and Padres.
This sounds like the best way to watch a baseball game.
I'm not going to lie to you guys. As the guy who's on here and who's actively trying to practice what he preaches to watch more games, I watched a game all the way to completion last night from start to finish for the first time in a long regular season, April baseball game. Watch the whole thing because most of it was just me listening to A-Rod and seeing what kind of silliness he would get into. He was talking about going into a supermarket one time. He was very excited about it. His daughter showed up at the end and it was sweet. A-Rod shows up to help his daughters hold the microphones close enough to their face. Just a wonderful experience. But all that to say this, what if I told you that you had to lay that big mortgage on the line, Sean Majors?
Man.
Big mortgage is on the line, and you are betting on those Kentucky Wildcats.
Sure, 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 sure.
And I told you, over or under 7 wins.
I'd say over.
There, well, you'd be right. You'd be a big winner according to WinBet because they are at an 8.
Everybody's pretty high in Kentucky these days.
Yeah, yeah.
Especially if you ask our friend Harrison.
Uh-huh.
Who routinely claims they will quote, win the Alabama championship and beat both Alabama and Auburn.
Well, with a 7th national ranking in success rate and a top 40 rank in Havoc allowed.
I mean, I wanna and I don't wanna. All right, who's next?
Florida Gators.
Mm-hmm.
The number to beat. The number for you here.
Okay.
9 wins.
Oh, God. Good Lord. No. 6. Good.
Six. 7 is the number.
Yeah.
7 is the number.
Florida's going to have a tough year.
Florida's got it so tough, they don't even bother telling me what their havoc score was.
They didn't allow any havoc.
Wow. Okay. All right. Okay.
People have got to be screaming at their...
I said I was going to go with just the win bet on this one.
Okay.
But I'm going to definitely bring up what the Action Network says, because there is a big discrepancy about Shane Beamer's South Carolina Gamecocks.
Okay.
The number for you to beat, Shawnee, is 7.
Ooh, South Carolina, they got Spencer Rattler. I'm actually going to...
really push their tarp up by getting Spencer Rattler.
I'm sure, yeah. gosh, that's tough. You said what, 6?
7.
7? I would say at 7. I'm going to say push.
At 7.
Even though I know that you're...
You should have went with the under. It's 6.
Really? Yeah.
Action Network has them at 3.7.
Really? That bad?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah. Action is fading everybody. They are heavily fading our next guys, the Drunkowitz Missouri Tigers. The number is bowl eligible. Will they get to 6? What do you think?
Under.
You're a good better, Shawnee. The number is 5. Thank for them. Yes. 5. They have the lowest net tarp number in the East.
Whoa.
Nobody's coming. Nobody's coming.
I'm assuming they're doing this for all the divisions and at least the Power Fives, because it would be really funny if the New York Post just wrote this article about the
just
SEC
did a
East.
Story about the SEC East.
And Brian Harsin.
That's it. That's it. All right. Finally, bringing up the rear, will the Commodores get to 3?
No. There's no... Did they really say 2? Yeah, I mean, they're bad. They're really bad. I don't know if Clark Lee's got it. I'm going to say under on 3.
1.5.
Oh, my God. That is insane. That is crazy. Yeah, 4 was way too high. Even 3.5 would be way too high.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know what? We got a hot 17 minutes out of this New York Post article. And we learned something. We learned about havoc allowed.
No, we didn't.
We did. We learned that it exists. Therefore, we can misuse that stat for the rest of our days. You add that to the Hankins True Score Index, the Johnny Majors Index, havoc allowed.
The name of the show.
The name of the show. I've really forgotten what the Johnny Majors Index measured now.
I forget. I think it was...
just aggravation, probably.
I really don't remember. Hey, where you said Kevin Sumlin was back.
Kevin Sumlin is back!
I couldn't find anything on him. Is he like...
He is the head coach thank you for bringing that up, Shawnee. He is the head coach for the Houston Gamblers, who really went to war in the USFL with the Jeff Fisher's
team
that he coaches.
Oh, okay. We already knew he was the coach. I just forgot.
He was literally on my TV.
I just forgot. I
thought we were all guys who watched the USFL.
Yeah. Right. That's what we said in that column, right?
Here's the fun thing about the USFL. One stadium, one city.
So weird.
3 different networks covered those games yesterday. 3
Birmingham, Alabama
networks. Home, 3 networks.
Home to the bullpen's Tony Mack.
I think that's Huntsville, right? He's the Trash Pandas. He was at Trash Panda Stadium.
I mean, but like, I think he goes back and forth, right?
The ump is a Huntsville station.
Oh, we should ask him.
I don't need to ask
you. No, no,
I've listened to the ump my whole life.
No. Let's get this right. just the professional football capital of the world.
Mm-hmm. I wondered immediately when I saw that there were 3 games on the slate for Sunday. I said, well, how in the world is this going to work? How is that field going to hold
up? Yeah, turn over.
Somehow, some way, they did it. But of course, in the league's first big weekend, weather strips us of the late game and pushes all the start times back an hour.
Of course.
I will say, I did enjoy the coverage. The football is football. It's football. It's whatever. If you're watching it to see football, you're going to come on and say, I don't like this much. But if you'll get over yourself for 10 minutes and like, I thought it was neat that they did a name that play segment where the color color commentator had to try to guess what play they were going to run because he can hear the coach call it. Now, he doesn't necessarily speak that coach's language, so he doesn't know right off. I thought all the replay stuff was cool. The microchip first downs. Going for three. They can go for three.
That's pretty cool. I like that a lot.
Come on, guys. I like just that. Watch the game. What else are you doing? Y'all aren't doing anything else. Mm-mm. Cut the game zone.
With that, from one former SEC West coach to six current ones. You ready to rate the coaches of the SEC West, Matt?
Let's rate them, baby.
Oh, my gosh. So we explained this last week, our rating system. It's a little bit arbitrary and complicated because, you know, this is smart podcasting for smart people.
Show of the people.
I'm going to go in ascending order this time. Mm,
me too, brother.
If you were at the bottom of your career, we're going to throw the brick. That's a zero. You have besmirched the good name of this school, and someone has thrown a brick through your window. Just like, unfortunately, Mr. Bill Curry.
Fortunately and deservedly.
Number one, we're calling the movers because you're fired, but your windows are intact. This was clearly the wrong order to go in. Number two, fire the coordinators. You're on thin ice. Fire some assistants. Blame them on the way out the door. Number three, stay the course. You're not fired. That in itself can be one of the highest honors a college football coach can receive. Number four, we're going to extend the contract. We like what you're doing. We're going to keep you on campus. Expect a raise, maybe a cool car or a whip, as the kids call it. Do the kids call it a whip?
Surely they're still not calling it that.
To drive around like like a Kia Sorento or a Dodge Stratus, a Nissan Altima. Ford Tempo.
What's the name of the other cars we got?
Number five, build that statue. We are building a statue in your likeness, just like Nick Saban or Pat Dye. Number six, we're going to rename the stadium. Your name will grace our field or stadium.
Or both.
Until someone comes along who performs better than you do. Think.
Or you get canceled.
Shug Jurban. Oh, yeah. Wait, did they rebuild the Paterno statue?
I think they just put it in a library somewhere and put a sheet over it.
So that's number six.
It's a Scooby-Doo monument now. And people rip the sheet off and say, oh, it was you all along, Joe Paterno.
It truly was. Okay. You know what? Let's start off slow. You know, let's ease into this today, okay? Sam Pittman is the head football coach of Arkansas. How do you feel about him? You always think he's Brian Dennehy, right?
I do 100% of the time think he's Brian Dennehy. There was a time last year where people thought them old hogs might win the division.
Yep.
They looked like world beaters at times. I am very tempted to do exactly what he did, which was build a statue of two slobbering hogs in his yard. Have you seen those? Have you seen that statue?
Yeah, it's pretty cool, actually.
I mean, I am very tempted just because for the first time in many, 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 many since Houston Nutt years, Arkansas was considered a viable threat
yes.
in football.
Yes.
Like, 100%. There was nothing bad to say about Arkansas. They stumbled when they played some of the better teams. Of course, it's fine. They don't have the tarp that some of these other teams do. But for what he did last year, it is a hard four for me.
Yeah. I mean, you know, he went from 3-7 to 9-4. And I was going to say, you know, we were pretty down on Eli Drinkwitz over in the East because he was 11-12 in his first 2 years. Sam Pittman's 12-11 in his first 2 years. But he went from 3-7 to 9-4. if he can put together another 9-win season, that is, I'm not ready to go 4, but certainly stay the course.
The Hogs, and they were Sam Pittman's Hogs, and their attack was solely responsible for the biggest sports-based laugh I had last year when Spencer Hall on the Full Cast After Dark just kept saying they were gonna womp them. Hogs gonna womp them, and I was like, that's really funny, and I'll say that forever. And then the womping stopped very shortly after that. I think they played Georgia, and the wompers were womped. But still, I appreciate what Arkansas did for me last year.
Yeah, they oh gosh, you're right. They played just trying to find this real quick. The game before they played Georgia.
I can't remember who they womped before Georgia, but like even the quarterback was womping. They just ran the ball down people's throats, and you know that's always going to get me fired up. But
yeah,
they looked.
Sorry, so they just beat number 7 Texas A&M.
That's who it
20
was.
To they 10, them. And then as the you know, on the field reporter walked up to Sam Pittman, and she was like, "Well, you got Georgia next week. How do you feel?" And he was like, he just kind of had this smile, like, "I'm probably gonna get my ass kicked 37-0," but he was
and
like,
"It was like, hey, could you let me enjoy this week where I just did some real big womping?"
Exactly. Oh my god! But hey, you know, culture change there. People seem to love him. 3-7 to 9-4.
I am always going to be in favor of a coach that looks like the school.
He looks like an Arkansas man.
That's why I defended Ed Orgeron so much.
Yeah, for sure.
You look like the school, and you have. I will give you a lot of leeway.
Well, let's go to the polar opposite of that concept with Brian Kelly at LSU.
Oh boy!
If we could, I believe anybody who is listening to this has seen the clip of him trying to act like a cool kid with the
Shawnee,
report.
The thing is, you could pick 95 clips. Any clip of him as the LSU head
the
coach
accent,
has been,
the accent oh, at the basketball that, game.
You know I hate to sound like the internet, and the internet just loves all this stuff, but this stuff is genuinely funny. When they're, is it Alabama? Who is Garth Brooks? Louisiana, what's the name of that song?
Calling Baton Rouge.
Yes, when he is doing that dance, calling Baton Rouge, and then they had the one later where the kid ended up signing with Alabama.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
the accent at the ball game, and let's not forget, folks. I know a lot of people are new to this podcast. Mm-hmm. One thing we never forget on this podcast is the time he murdered a kid in a scissor lift. We will never forget that.
Brian Kelly killed a guy. Brian Kelly. Did. Killed a guy. The kid who died was sending texts saying, "I'm really
get me down from here.
I'm
scared. Super scared."
Anyway, Brian Kelly's accent is like at a
to get practice footage.
Practice footage.
Film of practice at Notre Dame.
Very important stuff. He went from about like a 60% Marky Mark accent in The Departed. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
To 100% water, Bobby Boucher in The Waterboy.
I am there is no question what region of the country I am from when I speak. There is no getting around it. So I am not here to poke fun of a Southern accent. However, even I don't pronounce the word family like he did. And I sweat molasses. Like,
we are here to make fun of inauthentic affect.
Affectations.
Like, it's just so, like.
My family. Like, and we know. Okay.
You're Brian Kelly,
Kelly,
dude.
Spends 15 years in Baton Rouge and he lives there. Yes, you absolutely can pick up some dialect here or there. In my time in Atlanta, I have picked up some Atlanta habits in my speech pattern. He had been there for 17 minutes.
It is
at a basketball game.
It is completely ridiculous. I mean, and it would be one thing if he, you know, was like from Shreveport and then went to Notre Dame and came back. He's been at Grand Valley State, Central Michigan, Cincinnati, and Notre Dame.
And where is he from? Is he?
He's born in Everett, Massachusetts.
So a Matt,
like it is
a true masshole.
It is a like northern. It's not a suburb of Boston, but it's like just north of Boston.
Good night. So I mean, stay the course. He's a three because he's a big name. They had to do it. However, I am going to say, Brian Kelly, fire the social media director.
Oh, my God.
Because they've got you in hot water already.
Yeah. No, I think that is truly the rating there. Fire. It's like a 2.5, fire your social media director.
Yeah.
Well, you know, we hinted at some pirate time
today.
And so let's go to Starkville. Mike Leach, very close to Eli Drinkwitz's coach in his record in his first 2 years, 11-13. $5 million a year.
Oof.
Routinely gets in hot water. But that was kind of, they knew that when they hired him. I think I need to kind of recuse myself because I just don't like the guy. It's a zero for me.
This one's tough because Mike Leach does do something for Mississippi State that they needed doing, which was some buzz.
Sure.
Like having that crazy maniac on the squad gets you some buzz.
They lost a big one at the time, mm-hmm, in Dan Mullen.
Lost a big fish. Obviously, Mississippi State does not have the aspirations that an Alabama or Georgia or an LSU or an Auburn do. So if he can get 7-8 wins, 9 wins, 10 wins is a great year. 7-8 wins is a decent year.
Yeah.
I think he's capable of that with the right personnel. However, can that dude consistently recruit enough players to Mississippi State to do that?
No.
Here's the problem. I don't think they should stay the course, but I don't think they should fire him. And I think firing the coordinators here is useless. Like, it is when you're Mike Leach, it's all your stuff.
Yeah.
So I am going to say, heart of hearts, it's a one. He bridged the gap. He gave you some time to lick your wounds after Dan Mullen. Go get a young guy who you can maybe build around and just chill out. I'm going to give them a little bit of the old Tennessee treatment from a couple years ago. Just wait out Lane Kiffin.
Yeah.
Wait him out. Like, so just start. Don't worry about it right now. If you're taking a step back in the next couple years because you've moved on from Mike Leach, rip the Band-Aid off.
Yeah.
Let's just get done with this.
It's just like it. He's not cute anymore. He's 61, but he's an old 61, if that makes sense.
I am frankly shocked to find him just to be 61 years old.
And
if you told me he was born in 1861, I would believe that.
I mean, the guy, you know, he's coached 253 games. 150 and 103 is his record. His only division championship ever has been the Big 12 South in 2008.
Which isn't even a thing anymore.
It's not a thing anymore. Obviously didn't win the conference that year. But, I mean, we're talking like Texas Tech, Washington State couldn't succeed in any conference. And, again, like it would be one thing if it was a hot newcomer, like, you know, but with back – like Lane Kiffin, you know, who – maybe is younger and kind of has an upside and maybe knows when to shut up. But yeah, I mean, you're right.
And, you know, and the controversies that he gets into are typically not earth shattering.
No,
They're
just unforced errors.
They're unforced errors, and they're unforced errors that don't play well with either side somehow.
No,
you know, like they're not the kind of errors that, man, I'm trying to, I don't want to get into murky waters here. Okay, I'll say it like this. He's not going to come out for a social cause that upsets the constituency of Mississippi State.
No.
But he's also going to say something so crazy about politics that those people have to look at him like, what?
Yeah.
So it doesn't work on either side.
No, it doesn't at all. Well, let's stay in state here and go to my man, Lane, Monty Kiffin, baby. I don't know why everybody hates him. I don't know why he rubs people the wrong way. Lane Kiffin is making, let's not forget, $7.25 million. He's 15-8 in 2 years, had one of the most successful seasons the program has had in decades at 10-3. Went to the Sugar Bowl. Hey, they went 10-3 with Eli, man. I don't know what's up for the program, but went to the Sugar Bowl, went to, you know, New Year's Day Bowl for, I think, the first time, like, since question mark?
Ever?
If not ever. You know, clearly has the baggage, too. Last year, you know, had the grab your popcorn thing, which, you know, somehow.
Which, to his credit,
yep.
To Lane's credit, grab your popcorn. He actually handled the backlash well.
Yeah, I feel like I should recuse myself of this because I'm just sweet on the guy. I think I thoroughly thank him for his time at Alabama, and I'll always be a little soft on the guy.
Yeah, I think he has rehabilitated himself enough. Here's what I think for Ole Miss. Lane's as good as it's gonna get. It ain't gonna get no better than Lane Kiffin.
Yeah.
It's gonna be frustrating at times. Is he always gonna find a way to not win at all? Probably. Without having a Nick Saban type there to rein him in, he's gonna go buck wild crazy. He did it this year, sending his quarterback out in receiver patterns.
Oh, my God.
So much of the time.
Oh, my God.
But, you know, Matt Corral was an early Heisman favorite. He ran him into the ground. That did happen. But I think Lane is as good as it gets there probably ever. You know, like, it's not going to get turned around. Like you just said, 10-3 with Eli is a high water mark. Beating Alabama 2 years in a row with all those whores on the payroll was a high water mark. Laramie Tunstall's gas mask for the draft. High mark. So
the blind
he's as
good side.
As it gets.
Yeah. No.
Right. I mean, blind side.
For those reasons, as long as Lane Kiffin is your head coach, your school is going to be looked at by every big name quarterback in the transfer portal.
Absolutely.
You may not, you know, originally commit there straight out of high school, but when you don't like where you're at, and you know,
old Lane will find
and there,
right? Shawnee, you know, you don't make a lot of salient football points on this show, but that is one. The transfer portal really does change the math on a coach like Lane Kiffin.
Absolutely, for sure.
Where'd you hear that from?
You know, I read it from Dennis Dodd.
Good. Finally, we get one back on it, Jackass.
No, but I, you know, I think that, again, they're in the right trajectory here after the first season, but they're, you know, the popcorn thing, it was loud. He's weird. He's awkward. That's already baked into.
But that's Ole Miss.
Yeah.
And it, like that, it, again.
Never lost a party.
Coach that looks like the school.
Yeah, for sure.
That's Ole Miss.
It's a great fit. So, I mean, I'm stuck between a 3 or a 4. I'm going to defer to you.
I'm a pretty solid 4.
Okay.
I'm a pretty solid 4. And boy, am I here to tell you, if he pulls off the wonder trick and gets Arch Manning.
Oh, my God.
Boy, look out. Look out, gang. If he can pull that off, and I don't think it's crazy.
That would be.
I don't think it's crazy.
That would be pretty incredible, actually.
I mean, they are 4th in the betting odds.
Well, you know, as Saturday Down South reported last week that we reported, it's down to Texas, Alabama, Ole Miss. Georgia and Ole Miss. Or it could be anybody else.
And I'm here to tell you, Kirby won't get him because he looks like a quarterback.
Yeah.
And Kirby don't like
that. No.
Kirby don't like that.
And I hope Kirby actually says, Kirby don't like that. whenever somebody asks him.
I hope there's a full film study in Athens every Thursday that is called
Kirby don't like that.
Kirby don't. And he just plays a holding penalty. Kirby don't like that.
Like a neon sign flashes just once and like recedes. Oh, let's go to one of the most interesting, if not the most interesting, in the entire conference, John James Jimbo Fisher Jr.
Whew.
Texas A&M.
All right, Sean, I'm going to ask you straight up. Did Texas A&M underdeliver or overdeliver last year?
At 8-4, tied in the third. Or tied for third in the West. Under
quarterback issues, quarterback injury issues.
They beat Alabama.
Beat Alabama.
First
didn't Saban assist. Didn't matter one damn bit.
No.
hey folks.
It didn't matter for A&M or Alabama.
Remember when you wanted that playoff so bad? This is what happens.
Yeah.
Didn't matter one iota that Alabama lost to Texas A&M. You all laughed in our faces. Ha, ha, ha. Hardy, har, har. We were still at the end of the year, a quarter away from winning the national championship. So, I agree with you. They under-delivered. Now, let's extrapolate a little bit. How much did that underperformance cost them in American money dollars?
Yeah, sure. So, I forget what his... It's up to $9 million now.
Yeah.
But I forget what the total was. It was like 75 over...
75-3, I believe, over 9 years or something like that.
So, he made nine last year, and he went 8-4. So, they paid about, you know, $1.25 million per win.
Oof, McGoof. That math don't work. But
guaranteed.
Unfortunately, their hands are tied. There's nothing they can do.
Yeah, I mean,
he hasn't done anything.
He brought worthy in, of being. He fun. Brought in a historic recruiting class, thanks to the NIL stuff. I mean, but you know, like you said, their hands are tied to the point where it's like, it's a stay the course.
It's a stay the course, but the worst kind of stay the course, because there's nothing else. You got to hope.
Like, please start winning more games.
Please start
you
winning more games.
You haven't hit double digits since you got here.
Please start winning more games. And, who's that out here riding in? Who's that? Yeah, the Texas are upon you. Texas is coming to the conference.
Oh, my God.
So you best get to getting right now. Not saying that Texas is some world beater who's going to come in do anything, but I'm just saying that the way Alabama Auburn is, the way Georgia and Florida, whatever, pick your rivalries. Ohio State, Michigan, pick all your rivalries. I don't know if there's anything that is exactly like the relationship between Texas A&M and Texas. It is a fundamentally different thing that I can't even wrap my head
around. Well, it's because it's Texas.
Exactly.
It is as unique as the Lone Star State. It's just like there's a weird kind of hatred there that I think to everybody else, it's like, y'all know y'all are really the same, right? Like, same.
But that's the thing, Shawnee. I don't think they are. I think you could say that about Alabama and Auburn. Mm-hmm. We're the same people.
Sure.
We enjoy the same thing. All that stuff. Not a whole lot of difference between Michigan and Ohio State, Georgia and Florida. I think there is a world of difference between that. That literally is the two Texases.
Yeah.
Is Texas and Texas A&M. It's just nuts. It's a crazy, like Texas A&M with all their wackadoodle rituals And then
so weird.
UT being in the heart of Southern weirdness in Austin, but they're also the state school for tech. Like, it is it's really a culture mash that just does not work.
And I mean, maybe I'm just thinking of the 2005 championship game, but like, they are probably number two in having celebrities on the sidelines to USC.
Yeah, absolutely.
Or maybe it's just Matthew McConaughey.
It's just Matthew McConaughey, but his magnitude is so large.
Future governor Matthew McConaughey. Mark.
And Texas A&M has a fun dog.
Yeah, what is it, Uga?
That's not right. You know that's not right. Don't ask me what it is, but you know it's not right.
Uga 2? All right, let's go on over to Nick Saban. Nicholas Saban. What can you say? What can you say? Some say he broke the game. Some say he permanently broke the game. 269 wins. Six. I just looked at your face. 269 wins, 67 losses, and one tie.
Oh, two more, huh?
And one tie. That's overall. You know, 7 national championships, 10 SEC championships, blah, 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 blah. I'd like to open negotiations with a brick through his window. And here's why.
Let me ask this one thing. Mm-hmm. Is the brick literally the head of his statue through the window?
I mean, it's truly a gamble here because, you know, obviously the safe answer here is stay the course, because no amount of statues or anything is going to motivate, you know, to him to do better. Could he do better? Of course. Could win a championship every year. However, I think you got to mix things up, man. I don't know. You know, Alabama did not win a championship last year. Mm-hmm. You know, had an extremely talented team, did not win a championship in 2019, not in 18.
I mean, like, look, if we're being honest, maybe the most purely talented quarterback that the school has ever had. Mm-hmm. That's a problem. Who did not show up in the big game, got out efforted, ran out of gas in the fourth quarter. The whole thing is based on is we're going to outwork everybody. The process. We're going to win the fourth quarter. Lost the fourth quarter big time.
You know, he's smiling. He's having fun at these ceremonies after winning, mm-hmm. you know, small ball like the SEC championship.
Mm-hmm.
And meanwhile, you know, mm-hmm. that's time he could be watching tape or out on the recruiting trail.
Could be.
You know,
maybe quit being on Twitter, giving me sound bites. Maybe get in the film room. Maybe if you were doing Kirby don't like that.
Mm-mm. Kirby don't like that.
I mean,
Nikki
don't like that.
It's just
Nikki don't bump.
I think if you really look back, ever since we inducted him to the Alabama Sports Hall of Fame almost a decade ago, should we rescind that? What's going to motivate him to
mailing it in since then? Some would say. I'm sitting here looking at it right now, 33-18. Let's talk about this. The national championship games they have lost. There was a very tight one to Clemson.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Then there was an absolute destruction by Clemson. Was that was what, 40 something to 16 or something, like 44-16, something
yeah,
like that?
It was in the 40s in the 10s.
Another 33-18. This Georgia team that it took overtime and a miracle to beat.
Did we get destroyed by Oklahoma one year? Am I making that up?
That was a non-championship game. That was a Sugar Bowl
with AJ McCarron.
Yep, that was a Sugar Bowl. So when they get beat, they get real beat typically when the playoffs are here. They hadn't lost all of them, mm-hmm. but when they get smacked, You know, the loss to Ohio State, your boy Lane had a lot to do with that, but still, it happened. And like, it's on the resume, guys. It's on the resume. I tell you what, the only reason I won't put a brick through his window is that Miss Terry might get hit. That is the only thing saving you, true. Nick Saban, is that wonderful woman. However, for the past 2 years, as we have watched football games and texted one another, there has been one consistent thing that we have said. Fire Daboll. Not Daboll. Golding. We said fire Daboll too. Fire Golding.
Said run Daboll.
And I'm here to tell you, every coordinator can kick rocks as far as I'm concerned. They can all go. Again, hire one and fire him just to let them know we mean business. Because these roses ain't going to bloom crimson forever, and we can't take our foot off the gas. Well, somebody's got to go. Cedric, that dude that follows you around, parks your car for you, out.
We don't like that.
All of your pleasantries and luxuries, Nick, out.
You're going to take away his Kia Sorento?
Out. For F-150, out.
Oh, man.
Mercedes, out.
Jeez.
Oatmeal cream pies, out.
No, bring back the cream pies.
Nope. He's on Raisin Bran until I see some improvement.
All right. We'll bring back the cream pies one day.
I'm not bringing back the cream pies. I mean, my God. We hadn't won a national championship in 2 years.
It's absurd.
Two whole years.
It took a pandemic for us to win a national championship even then.
I don't even know if I'm counting that one. I don't know if I count it.
All these Alabama fans walking around. Too many national championships, they claim. Am I right?
I mean, you're right. Don't even get me started on the Golf Digest one that they claim.
Oh, good Lord. So, I mean, he's a two for you.
He is a two for me.
He's a two in the... It is interesting because I think you can give him a zero, a two, or a three.
Yeah, but it ain't a four. Mm-mm. It ain't a four. Mm-mm. I saw this... look, this team... This team had to beat Georgia once just to get in. This was not a fun season to behold. It was aggravating, if we're being completely honest. And I'm sure y'all are saying, listen to these assholes. Well, the fair play to you. But guess what? I've come to expect a few things. And I was not satisfied with the product I saw. And what happens if... Jameson Williams doesn't transfer. I don't like depending on the transfer portal. The transfer portal should be for icing on the cake, not the cake.
No, that's where you and I part, baby. Go ahead, keep recruiting there, man.
Oh no, get them. But they are supplements. They are not because again, what happens last year if Williams is not there?
It's true. No, absolutely. Would have been definitely greener and more shallow at wide receiver.
Slade Bolden went pro. What are we talking about?
So bizarre. Well, what else? What else we got? What else is in the news? I don't know how to properly end this this episode here, Hankins.
I think the answer is simple. Nick Saban, you own notice. Because Kirby don't like that.
Throw the flag.
Too much havoc allowed, Nick Saban. Too much havoc allowed.
256today.com.